This is the Bigger Pockets Podcast, show 919. What's going on, everyone? This is David Green, your host of the Bigger Pockets Real Estate Podcast, and I brought back up with me. I'm joined today by Rob Abasolo and Dave Meyer on a special show.
And on this special show today, we're going to be answering the age-old question, which real estate strategy works best, specifically if you want to leave your 9-to-5? So let's start with you two, Rob and David. How long have you been out of your 9-to-5? I'm still in my 9-to-5. And how long did it take you to get there?
Okay, first of all, technically, you are still in your 9-to-5, but you work at Bigger Pockets.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like you get the best of both worlds. So I don't want to glaze over that. Now, me, I have been out of my 9-to-5 in advertising in the last, I would say, three and a half years.
Rob, how long were you investing before you got out of your 9-to-5?
About 4 or 5 years.
Okay, that's pretty solid. What about you, David?
I'm so bad with dates. I think I left being a police officer in 2016 and joined. I got out of my 9-to-5 and got into like a 7-to-7 as I became an entrepreneur and just worked way more in real estate. But I bought my first investment property in 2009 and have been steadily buying ever since. And in today's show, we're going to be sharing the path out of the 9-to-5 jungle and into the world of full-time real estate.
Well, you know, the reason we're talking about this today is because it actually came up pretty recently and it comes up pretty often in the Bigger Pockets forums. In this episode, you're going to hear about what some of our community members recommended and what we recommend as investors slash experts in this space.
So if you are someone who's been listening to this podcast wanting to get out of your current job and into a better one that's real estate related, this is a show for you. Let's get into it. All right. This first question comes from a community member named Rodney Love, and it reads, which real estate strategy works best to escape the 9-to-5 rat race, by Rodney Love. I love how we always call the 9-to-5 a rat race. I don't know if rats love that. Doesn't seem like it's quite fair to them.
No one ever thinks about the rats' feelings.
It's not really fair. I mean, what if rats just like exercise?
There have been a lot of great rats in history. Ratatouille, the Ninja Turtles' dad. I mean, there's some good rats out there.
Splinter, of course.
Splinter. Oh, yeah, that's a great one. He's a hero, right?
Our producers are like, stop. Answer the question.
Stop talking about rats.
This is actually a great question because there's a lot of people that say, hey, I'll figure out the long-term wealth later. My most pressing need is to figure out how do I get my time back and how do I get out of this job that I don't like? Rodney goes on to say, what real estate strategy did you use? Example, if you had between $20,000 to $70,000 to invest in real estate, how would you use that to replace your income of $7,000 a month? Fix and flips, tax liens, mortgage notes, rentals, Airbnbs. Help me here, guys.
Okay, so this was a very popular post. I got over 90 comments in the forums, and we're going to pull in a few of those comments, take you through those. But then after that, we'll hop into our advice and our recommendations based on our anecdotal journeys. So an investor named James has three pieces of advice here. So I'm just going to read us through these tidbits and then let's talk it out a bit. So first advice here, for replacing W-2 income with rental cash flow is a much longer process than one might imagine. Unless you're really aggressive, it's probably going to take 10 years or more. That's advice number one. Tip number two here, house hacking might be the quickest way. If you live somewhere, then you might as well get paid for it. I really love this. I think this is something that we talk about pretty often on the show. And the last tip here is, I think fix and flips are just another job. They're not an investment. If you stop working, the cash flow stops working. So, you know, he kind of gives a pretty realistic representation of, yeah, it's not as easy as people say. What do y'all think?
Yeah, this is something that when I got into real estate investing, I asked similar questions. How do I get enough cash flow to replace my income or provide the lifestyle that I want? And then once I was in it for a while, I realized that was an oversimplified perspective. What actually works is focusing on building equity and then converting that equity into cash flow. And that's because you have more control over how you build equity in a property. You decide what price you pay. You decide what location you invest in. You decide how you're going to add value to the property. Cash flows typically only increase as rents go up and expenses stay the same. Investors don't have as much control over that. We all saw that this last year when insurance doubled or tripled in some areas and property taxes are going up and rents haven't been able to keep up with inflation because people can't afford them because everything else is becoming more expensive. But if you focus on building equity snowball, then you cash that out and turn it into cash flow. You can get out of the rat race. $20,000 to $70,000. that's almost impossible to turn into $7,000 of passive income. You're going to have some kind of active effort if you want to be able to make $7,000 a month.
Yeah, I think you can turn $70,000 into $7,000 a year.
That's a great point. Yeah.
But yeah, a month, you know, it's an uphill, battle.
Yeah, I think what David just said about focusing on equity and then converting into cash flow is super important. And if I may, I just want to share just sort of a little framework for thinking about this. But if you know how much money you want to make, and the original question said $7,000 a month. So if you multiply that by 12, that means that you want to make $84,000 a year. If you figure that your average cash flow on a deal, let's say it's 6%, and it could be 5%, it could be 8%, whatever you're saying. But if you want to make $84,000 a year, divide that by your average cash on cash return, so 0.06, that will tell you how much equity you need to earn. So in this example, that means you would have to have $1.4 million of equity invested into real estate at that 6% cash on cash return. And that's what will allow you to replace your income. So I know that's a bit of math, but the point here is that if you think about it that way, then you can start to ask yourself, what is the fastest way to get $1.4 million in equity that I can invest, rather than trying to build up cash flow bit by bit? Because generally speaking, I personally believe that that takes longer than just saying, all right, I need to get $1.4 million in cash flow. And once I have that, I can invest it into, you know, a 6% cash on cash return relatively easily when I'm actually ready to pull the trigger, quit my job, and escape that damn rat race.
Great perspective.
Yeah.
You know, the math that I use, Dave, is similar to you. I realized somewhere along the journey that if I get a 12% cash on cash return, $40,000 would turn into $400 a month. $60,000 would be $600 a month. And so I just sort of use that number. So if I know that if I have $500,000 of equity, that can turn into $5,000 a month. So by this metric, this person would need $700,000 if they got a 12% return. Not very likely. Let's have that and say it's a 6% return. So they're going to have to double the $700,000, which is $1.4 million of equity to get that $7,000. That gives you a great perspective on how much money you actually need to replace that W-2 income. And that gives people perspective into why we don't advise that you quit your job as soon as you get a little bit of cash flow coming from real estate. Rob, I know you made a YouTube video about that recently where you were saying, yeah, hey, this, it's not like you hear. My two cents is that this is often spoken about from real estate influencers that are trying to get people to take their course. Mm-hmm. So they say, hey, I'll teach you how to make this much cash flow so you can quit your job. Well, who's not going to pay $20,000 to learn how to quit their job? It just isn't realistic. And that's why I think Rodney here has been under the wrong impression.
Yeah, yeah, this is exactly right. I think one of the things that I made this video that's like why you shouldn't quit your 9-to-5 for real estate. And everyone's like, what? How dare you? And I'm like, well, you know, if you go the flipping route, you're just, it's exactly what James said. It's just another job. Now, it doesn't mean that it's not going to pay you well. It doesn't mean that you're not going to love it more than your current job. But what it does mean is exactly what he said. The moment you stop flipping houses, you stop making money. So as long as you understand this reality of being a full-time real estate investor still does require a bit of active work, then I think it's a fine goal to strive for. But just understand it's not like you're sitting on the beach drinking Mai Tais. Not until, you know, later on in life, I suppose.
Yeah, that makes so much sense. And I think it's important for people to remember, too, that they should be considering their current income, too. Like if you're trying to get to this $1.4 million or however you want to think about it, like if you have a good job that's going to make you more than flipping houses would and might be easier than making flipping houses would, then you should probably stick with that. I mean, I am the only one of the three of us who still works a quote unquote 9-to-5 job. And
boo.
I do it because I like, I do it because I like my job, but there's also a strategic element to it that it's a good job and it gives me money with which I can invest into real estate. And if I didn't work here, I would probably start flipping houses, which would just be another job.
Oh, but there is something to be said that you are the most lendable person in this trio because you have a W-2.
Oh, thank you. I do consider myself quite lendable, if that's a word.
Very lendable. I'd lend to you.
Thanks, man. I appreciate it.
And we're just trying to bring perspective, because it's very easy to fall into a negative perspective on, I have to have a job, especially when you got social media telling you that you're a sucker, referring to as a rat race, all these negative connotations. I can promise you, I've hired a lot of people just to be my assistant and said, hey, I need you to be an extension of me. 95% of them have quit. No thanks. I do not like this. I want to go back to my other W-2 where other people handle the stress, other people handle the pressure. I didn't have all the risk. I liked just having my little rat race where I just had to follow this little tunnel around and do my thing. There are downsides to working a W-2 job, but there are also downsides to leaving that job and taking on a whole bunch of risk. I work more hours than all the W-2 employees that I know for not having a W-2 job. Just a little bit of perspective. Sometimes it pays to be grateful for what you've got and just keep buying real estate, planning for the future.
Okay, so James made some great points here. And after the break, we'll come back to hear some of the ideas that he brought up. Plus, we've got more advice from the forums. And later on, we'll weigh in with our own advice. So stay tuned. What if you could buy new construction homes up to $20,000 below market value? That's right, $20,000 in instant equity. What if you could use that same $20,000 to cover your down payment or score a lower mortgage rate? Talk about being spoiled for choices. Right now, Rent-A Retirement is offering investors their choice of incentives when they invest in a new turnkey property. Your options? Up to $20,000 below retail pricing on new construction homes, aka instant equity, or a 5% down payment credit. That means less cash out of your pocket. Tired of high rates? Use that $20,000 to lower your interest rate to as low as 3.99% and score free property management for a year. All right, well, now they're just getting crazy over there. Rent-A Retirement's final option? No money down investor loans. Take your choice of instant equity, low or no money down, or a rate as low as 3.99%. To learn more, visit rentoretirement.com. That's rent, T-O, retirement.com. Or text REI to 33777. REI 33777 to take advantage of these limited time incentives. This show is sponsored by Airbnb. Did you know that I turned one of my first homes into an Airbnb? It's true. And it even helped me get the extra income I needed to launch my real estate career. So if you want to try your hand at making even more income with your property, Airbnb is the place to be. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host. The easiest way to collect rent? Rent app. Rent app is a seamless, secure, free payment tool for small rental property owners like you and me. Built by a team of fintech veterans behind Square and Cash App, Rent app uses ACH bank transfers to deposit rent directly into your account. Landlords love Rent app for its unbeatable convenience. Isn't it time you made rent collection easier? Rent app, the free and easy way to collect rent. Learn more at rent.app/landlord. That's rent.app/landlord.
Welcome back, you beautiful investors. Rob Abasolo, Dave Meyer, and me, Papa Pockets, are diving into one of the hottest conversations on the Bigger Pockets forums right now. What's the best real estate strategy to ditch your 9-to-5? Let's jump back in.
All right, so those are some really good points just about flipping is another job and staying in your current job. But when I was reading through the forums and saw some of the replies here, I saw another interesting comment from someone named Glenn in the Bigger Pockets community. And he said that the strategy you choose, because that, remember, that was the original question, is like, what strategies are best? So the strategy you choose depends mostly on what you will enjoy most and will be good at. And as an example, he says Airbnb is really a hospitality business more than a real estate investing activity. It just uses real estate. Or, for example, like we talked about, flipping houses just like a job. Glenn says, I like long-term rentals mostly because it provides predictable, stable income, and that suits me and his wife better. Our short-term rental, Airbnb, is a little more exciting but causes me to lose more sleep due to seasonal fluctuation. So curious what you guys think about this, just about doing stuff that you like, that is good at, because if, as we say, this is going to take longer than more people think, you probably want to be doing something that you're enjoying for those 10 plus years that you're going to be pursuing this.
My perspective, if you're going to go into the real estate world, I mean, I've always been a proponent of never paying yourself from real estate rental income. I'm a firm believer that you should figure out how to make money other ways, whether it's through real estate, whether it's through side hustles or hubbles, whether it's through other companies, whatever it is, right? And so I think that if you're really attacking this idea of going full time and let's say making $7,000 a month, there is absolutely a 50-50 component to both the active work that you put in and the passive work. So I like to say you buy rental properties, you build equity, you build your wealth, and then you have your cash flow from your rentals that you should feed back into your rentals to make as much money as possible. And you use that to scale and build up your portfolio. And then you have your active income, which can come from wholesaling or flipping or rehabs or whatever it is. And that's really where you're paying a salary from because you are actively working for that. So I think it's just one of those things where it's still pretty involved. Do y'all have similar or contradictory thoughts to that?
Yeah, I think a lot about this. Honestly, a lot of my new book is about this topic, is like trying to find stuff that is like actually aligned with what you like, because I know you guys have heard this, but this happens all the time where people quit their jobs, they start flipping, they're like, I don't even like flipping houses. Or they go and they become a landlord and they don't like interacting with tenants. And I think it is super important to try and find a strategy in real estate that is aligned with your personality, your risk tolerance too, you know, the amount of resources that you have at your disposal. Taking a little bit of time to think about that and carefully consider which ones are going to be good for you over the long run is super important. Flipping, it's just not for me. I've never flipped a house. I probably will never flip a house, but I like long-term rentals. I like investing in syndications because I'm lazy sometimes and just wanted to have other people do the work. And those things suit me. And I like them because I can see myself doing these things for another 10 or 20 years, no problem. Like that, they don't cause me stress. I feel comfortable with them. But for some people, they wouldn't want to do either of those. And they like the hands-on element of flipping houses, and that, all the power to them.
The way that I think about it is the equity portion is going to happen on its own. It takes a lot of time. It's delayed gratification. You pick the right market, you pick the right house. Hopefully you pay less than what it's worth and you speed up that process, but it just happens. You don't have to pay attention to the equity unless you're adding value to a property or forcing equity, like I call it. The cash flow part will take a lot of your attention. That's why methods like short-term rentals or medium-term rentals or Airbnb arbitrage, all of these ideas you hear people say will provide more of a return, but you're going to put your attention, which is what we call work, into that. You're still going to have to do it. Dave, like you mentioned, flipping houses, it's a lot of work and a lot of risk, and it will produce more of what we call cash flow, but it's definitely work just like you were doing before. What's interesting about what we all do here as investors is, let's say you buy a short-term rental. You're going to get some cash flow out of that, which everybody talks about. It's like running a business, right? When you work in your business, you get money out of that business. But this is like owning a huge asset that also appreciates with the business. It's much better to own a bunch of short-term rentals and make 10 grand a month from the short-term rentals, even though you're working, than it is to own a bakery and make 10 grand a month managing employees, but you don't own the building. You're not also getting that appreciation. I think that's the point that I would like everyone to recognize. When you do this through real estate, as opposed to starting a landscaping company or running some small business or working a job, you can get cash flow, but you're also building massive equity for retirement. You're also building equity that you can get at a cash out refinance or put a HELOC on a property or sell and move it into another opportunity where you can get even more cash flow. This is why real estate investing is, in our minds, your best bet at building wealth, because you're getting both sides of it. But you have to recognize it's still like running a business, just like running the bakery, just like running the landscaping company.
I totally agree. And I'd like to hop down, because you did talk about this idea of like instant gratification. One of the pieces of advice that James gave was house hacking, and how that could be a potentially eye-opening experience too. It was for me, in that he said, if you're going to live somewhere, you may as well get paid for it. And I really like something you said on the podcast about a week ago, David, where you basically said, you know, if you house hack and let's say you're able to make $1,500 a month or $2,000 a month from the rents that you get from roommates, you know, imagine how much money you'd have to have invested to make $1,500 or $2,000 a month. It'd be a very, very high amount of money. And so when you look at like the ROI on house hacking, I think it's a very powerful wealth generator that could pretty easily chip at that $7,000 a month, you know, maybe $1,000 or $2,000 right out the gate.
Yeah. Do you want to dive into a little bit more, Dave, or would you like to comment on that whole idea that if you get into house hacking early, it's much better than trying to save up a bunch of money to invest?
Well, I kind of think that they're one and the same, right? I think there are opportunities where some people are house hacking and they're making $1,000 a month or $2,000 a month. But I actually think one of the most powerful reasons house hacking is such a common way to get started is that it simply allows you to spend less money. So if you have a house hack and you have roommates, hopefully you're cash flowing a little bit. But even if you're just, you know, reducing your own living expense down by, let's say, $1,000 per month, maybe you're still paying $100 a month, but you used to be paying $1,100. And so now you're saving $1,000 a month that you can invest in other properties. This is a way that you can save up money to put into additional deals, because house hacking, it's great, but you can only do one of them at a time. Of course, you can only live in one property at a time. So I think the cash flow is an excellent bonus to it. But I think the real benefit is like being able to save up money that you can go buy bigger and better deals over the course of your career with.
All right. So to really just bring this one home, David, do you think you could sort of math out the possible ROI on house hacking?
Yeah, that's a great question. And a lot of people don't think about how saving money is even more powerful than making money. So let's say that you're currently spending $2,000 a month on your own housing expense, like you're renting an apartment somewhere. If you wanted to make $2,000 a month in cash flow at a 6% return, that means that you'd have to save up $400,000. Well, how long does it take you to save $400,000? If somebody can save 40 grand a year, that means they probably got to make over $100,000 a year because they still have to live on it. That could be 10 years of savings. That takes you a long time. Now, how much is the real estate that you could buy today going to cost in 10 years? And how much could you have been paying down on the loan? And how much will rents go up over 10 years that you're missing out on because you didn't buy it? You're putting yourself way behind the curve by trying to save up that money and go put 20% down on a rental property. Let's say instead of saving up the $400,000, you go buy a $400,000 property and you put 3% down. That just takes $12,000. Most people can get there in 6 months or so. You don't have to even wait a year to be able to save up that money if you're making the same income that we just mentioned. Now that $12,000 that you put down, if you house hack correctly and just get a break-even property, it doesn't even cash flow. If that saves you $2,000 a month in rent, that is the same financial impact as if you were able to save $400,000 and you don't have to wait 10 years to start. I don't even know. I'd let Dave Meyer figure out the numbers of that $400,000 compounded over a 10-year period of time. It's even more than the $400,000 if you have to wait. And so what we're getting at here is that making money in real estate can be incredibly hard, but saving money in real estate, especially if you're already paying more, is much easier.
I love it. That's what I'm talking about. It's the greatest return of all time, house hacking, which is one of the strategies, right? And I know we're batting around a ton of strategies here, flipping, house hacking. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people might be asking themselves, what strategy should I be using if I want to at least start inching closer to this idea of becoming a full-time real estate investor and leaving the 9-to-5 grind?
We're going to give you our take on which strategy to use and what action steps that we would recommend right after this quick break.
We're always looking for ways to improve, searching for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for better is by matching with quality candidates. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of the show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BiggerPockets. Just go to Indeed.com/BiggerPockets right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Indeed.com/BiggerPockets. Need to hire? You need Indeed. Whether you need to buy or sell, or you're just obsessed with looking at homes for sale, Redfin's got you covered. Redfin updates their listings every 2 minutes to help you see new homes first. And they give you personalized recommendations based on the homes you like, so you can find a home that's just right for you, whether that's a cabin, a craftsman, or a castle. With the top-rated Redfin app, you can favorite homes, share listings with others, and schedule tours even on the same day with a local Redfin agent who can help guide you through the whole home buying process. And if you're looking to sell, Redfin agents have the experience to help you get the best price possible for your home. That's because they sell twice as many homes as other agents. With a listing fee as low as 1%, Redfin's fees are half of what others often charge, which means you'll have more money to put towards what matters most to you, like your next home. In fact, last year, Redfin saved home sellers $127 million. No matter where you are in your real estate journey, Redfin can help. Download the Redfin app to get started today. Pretty good little episode, right? While you were listening, you could have been getting paid rent with RentApp. Landlords love RentApp because it makes rent collection a breeze. RentApp uses ACH bank transfers to deposit funds directly into your account. Setup is straightforward for renters, and landlords don't need to download anything. Both have peace of mind with the digital transaction history. Isn't it time you made landlording a little easier? RentApp, the best way to pay or collect rent. Learn more at rent.app/landlord. That's rent.app/landlord.
Remember when you had to pay to get a lead's phone number? It was like the dark ages. Until Deal Machine made skip tracing a thing of the past. Now, with your Deal Machine plan, you'll get unlimited access to phone numbers and contact information for no extra cost. That's right, get high quality, reliable information trusted by leading financial institutions, all fully compliant with the federal Do Not Call list. Explore over 150 data points, including age, gender, marital status, occupation, and a ton more. Trust me, this is the data you need for off-market deals. With new filters, people flags, and color-coded phone numbers, lead management just got a ton easier. Ready to step up your investing game? Sign up for a Deal Machine plan today and gain immediate access to this unlimited treasure trove of contact information and phone numbers. Just head to dealmachine.com/BP. Transform your lead generation and deal-making strategies with Deal Machine. Sign up today and start exploring the unlimited possibilities at dealmachine.com/BP.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to the Bigger Pockets Real Estate Podcast. Let's pick up where we left off.
I know we're batting around a ton of strategies here, flipping, house hacking. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people might be asking themselves, what strategy should I be using if I want to at least start inching closer to this idea of becoming a full-time real estate investor and leaving the 9-to-5 grind?
Well, there's different strategies. You kind of got to find the one you like. And that I do think that that's good advice, because it's not like they're all equal. Different personalities, different skill sets, different minds will gravitate and have more success in different niches. Like Rob, you're a very creative person. You are a semi-goofy person. You really like short-term rentals that are like niched out and kind of unique, right? You got your pink pickle property. You're very good at going to thrift shops, or I don't even know where you find those dinosaurs.
I'll never tell.
Yeah, exactly. Making these creative ideas on properties. You and I put our heads together and we come up with ideas, and you're always coming from just a unique perspective. So short-term rentals that have a different flavor are right up your alley. Dave, you typically look at all of your different options and you find the one that's the most efficient way. So it is not shocking to me that you're investing in syndications, or you're just buying buy and hold in Denver and letting it do its thing while you put the majority of your computation power into a 9-to-5 rat race job. That's a really good job for you while you write books and build passive income. That makes perfect sense to me why you two have adopted those strategies. What advice do you have for the people listening to find the strategy that's right for them?
Well, can I shamelessly just plug this? Because I wrote an entire book called Start With Strategy. It just came out. And the whole concept is looking at your own individual situation and identifying which real estate strategies work for you. So shameless plug, check out the book. That will help you. But I'll just give you a synopsis here if you haven't read the book. Oh, thanks, Rob. Rob's holding it up.
I look at it every day. It's on my desk.
I think the real idea here is to sort of start with the end in mind. We've talked a lot about that today, and just like figure out what your financial goals are, what your risk tolerance is, what you value. Like, do you value your time? Do you value more passive income? Do you like your job? The book walks you through all these things, but if you want to do it on your own, just think about like really what you're trying to accomplish, and then just use common sense and say like, does this strategy align with what I want? Like, Am I comfortable talking to tenants? No? Then don't be a landlord. Or you can buy long-term rentals, but you have to hire a property manager. So I just think like really just analyzing what your strengths are, what your weaknesses are, what your preferences are is the best way to start. And I know people just want this like cookie cutter answer where you're just like, it's rentals, but there is no cookie cutter answer. This is entrepreneurship. Every business is going to be different and every business is going to be based on the entrepreneur at the head of that business. And so you need to sort of take some time and think about who you are and what you're going to be successful at.
Rob, what do you think?
I think try a little bit of everything, to be honest. I know everyone's like focus, niche down, blah, blah, blah. I don't disagree with that. Once you figured, you don't want to niche down on something that you're bad at, right? When I got into real estate, I obviously started the Airbnb thing. I very much quickly realized I'm good at this and I went all in. However, even now, 7-8 years into this thing, I'm trying wholetails, I'm trying flips, I'm trying creative finance. I'm worse at others and better at others, but I'm trying it out and I'm still realizing, hey, you know, the rental game is kind of my strong suit, but I would never know that without just trying stuff. And I think exactly what you said, Dave, like maybe you figure out that long-term rentals is something that you hate because you hate tenant management. Fantastic. Now you know what not to do. Go try something else. Go try wholesaling. Go try flipping. If you're really bad at that, if you lose money consistently at flipping, well, maybe flipping is not your gift and you got to try something else. It's fine. You know, as long as you're willing to try and fail a couple times.
I'll give some advice here. If you're someone who tends to be drawn to spreadsheets, you like the numbers, you like predictability. Yeah, Dave, exactly. This is you, right? There are some strategies that you'll be more inclined to enjoying. So investing in syndication makes perfect sense. Commercial property investing is very number heavy. It's about finding an NOI, finding a cap rate, and figuring out how to put a tenant in that property that has a lease that goes up over time. And once you've got it down, there's not a whole lot that you have to do every single day to oversee it. Some people like that. They want to aim very closely. They want to take one shot and they want to let it ride. If you're into that type of investing, you'll probably like mobile home parks more. But as opposed to triple net investing or commercial properties, there's going to be a little bit more interaction. So some people like numbers, but they also like something to do every day. So if that's your personality, mobile home parks, trailer parks, RV parks, those are number heavy as far as how you add value to them, but they also require more hospitality. So if you like putting energy every day towards improving your financial picture, multifamily apartment complex investing or some of the methods I just said are going to be more up your alley. Other people are a full-blown psychopath. They want every single day to be paying attention to everything that's going on in their properties. That's going to be your house flipper. These are the James Danards. He literally wants to go to the place where he's buying appliances and price out what a stove costs here than what it costs somewhere else in town. And he loves it and he's great at it. So that's a better strategy for them. If you're in the FI movement and you're big on defense, you make your own soap, you stitch your own clothing, you churn your own butter, you should definitely be house hacking. You should definitely be looking into 401ks. You should be looking at some of these ways that you can save more money. Your mind will love that stuff. Maybe rent by the room strategies. All right, I can maximize my ROI on this property if I rent out the rooms to other people. It's not complicated. I don't need to know how to use Excel really well. I don't have to go get approved for $5 million mortgages, but I do feel like I have some control over my financial future by renting out individual rooms. And then lastly, if you're someone like Rob that enjoys hospitality, enjoys making people feel good, enjoys providing them with an experience, maybe you're a little bit more creative. Short-term rentals and medium-term rentals are definitely going to be something that you like doing and you're going to want to scale. How'd I do?
Very good.
Great. Can I add one more?
Please.
I haven't done it yet, but I'm reading a book on it and I'm really into the idea of private lending right now. If you want to get to cash flow, once you have your equity up, private lending offers a really good way to earn a strong cash on cash return.
I think that's one thing I was going to tell people. You know, you don't have to go right into a flip or right into a wholesale or right into a short-term rental. I think you can shadow. I think you can partner with somebody that's maybe further along than you, but maybe doesn't have $20,000 to $70,000 to go out and flip the house. You could provide the funds and say, hey, we'll partner on this 50-50 if you show me your ways. And I actually, when I ran out of money, I partnered up with several financial partners that were like, hey, I want to learn how to do this short-term rental thing. I'll pay for it all if you just teach me how to do it. So I still think there's an entry point. Even if you don't know what you're doing, you can partner with people that do.
That's such a good point, Rob. I think it's super important. That's, you know, that's a whole other topic about partnership, but I totally Totally agree, especially if you're trying to get into some new strategies that you haven't done yet. Just find a way to learn, even if you're not going to make a ton of money off your first deal.
Well, thanks for joining me today, fellas. I love this question. I'm glad that we got a chance to address something that everybody's asking in the forums. Everybody's talking about at meetups. This is the number one question that comes across is, how do I quit my job with real estate? We would love for you to get to that point, but real estate was not created to provide a way to quit your job. It was created as a tool that will provide big wealth in your future. Another thing we didn't talk about that I just want to address quickly before we leave, there are ways to make money in the world of real estate that do not involve just the cash flow from the real estate. You can get a job working to help real estate investors like I do. You could become a contractor, a property manager, a CPA, a real estate agent, a loan officer, a handyman. You can open a business that supports investors. You can get into consulting. You can be a bookkeeper. There's tons of needs, and Lord knows that we all have them when it comes to helping real estate investors and business owners, that if you don't like the job you're in now, like when Brandon Turner was working at Cold Stone Creamery, you can get a job that you like more that still exposes you to the opportunity to buy real estate deals.
Well said. I was just curious how many different jobs you were going to name there. I wanted to see how long you could keep going.
I didn't know how many I was going to. I just kept reaching into my hat and pulling out rabbits. And I figured at some point I'm going to have to run out. And then I ended up grabbing Brandon's beard and pulling him out. And I said, okay, that's enough. We can stop going into that hat.
Have you seen Forrest Gump, you know, when Forrest and Bubba are just like, he's just like naming all the different types of shrimp.
Shrimp,
I feel like that's what you're doing with all the different real estate jobs.
Short-term rental shrimp, medium-term rental shrimp, traditional shrimp. Flipping shrimp, living flipping shrimp, mobile rehab home park shrimp, rehab.
Yeah, this is going to be a whole podcast of you just naming jobs. Join us for the next episode where David just lists out jobs.
If we missed a job that you think should be covered or a strategy that you were listening and saying, ah, how come they didn't mention this one? Let us know in the comments on YouTube what you think we missed and what questions you have. If you've got another question from the forums that you want to address, let us know that on YouTube as well. Our producer will watch that. We just may make a show about it. And if you've got a second, please go give us a review wherever you listen to podcasts. They help us out a ton, and we would love you if you do it. You can find our information on the show notes, David Green, Dave Meyer, and Rob Abasolo, if you want to reach out and let us know what you thought of the show. And keep an eye out for the next Bigger Pockets podcast episode. This is David Green for Dave Meyer and Rob Abasolo, signing off.
The market is changing, and finding your way can be tricky. Rates shift, headlines whirl, but your goal hasn't changed. You want financial freedom. And the best investors know it's not about timing the market, it's about time in the market. If you're ready to get into the real estate investing game or take your game to the next level, finding an investor-friendly agent is your next step. With BiggerPockets Agent Finder, you can find the right agent in minutes. Just head to biggerpockets.com/deals and enter a few details about what and where you want to buy, and bam! Instantly match with an investor-friendly agent who fits the bill. These local market experts can help you navigate the neighborhoods, analyze the numbers, and take action with confidence once and for all. This free resource is only available at biggerpockets.com/deals. Get an agent, get the deal, and get closer to financial freedom at biggerpockets.com/deals. That's biggerpockets.com/deals to find your investor-friendly agent today. The content of this podcast is for informational purposes only.
Past performance is not indicative of future results, and all hosts and participant opinions are their own.
Investment in any asset, real estate included, involves risk. Use your best judgment and consult with qualified advisors before investing. Only risk capital you can afford to lose.
Bigger Pockets LLC disclaims all liability for direct, indirect, consequential, or other damages arising from reliance upon information presented in this podcast.